My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Would you be happy with the return of one major league ready prospect, a guy that you expect to be in the lineup next year for Flaherty? Would you say that's a good return?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. That's why I'm saying the Baltimore deal with Flaherty would make sense to me.
Yep.
And yeah, I would be okay. Like, if they were to trade straight up, this is a big prospect, but if they traded straight up Kobe Mayo for Flaherty, I'd be fine with it.
It's basically trading in something that you will have for two, you'd only have for two probably meaningless months of baseball for somebody you hope is going to be with you for a decade.
Exactly.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah. And it's, I was thinking, like, is this similar in a way? What the Tigers have with Flaherty is kind of similar to what they had with Verlander. Now, obviously, Verlander had the longer track record of being a stud pitcher and it's different from that standpoint. And the Tigers tried to get a haul. They tried to maximize the haul and getting a bunch of players. Could the Tigers have gotten a deal done with Houston back in the day if they had simply asked for, we wanted George Springer or we wanted Kyle Tucker? If they wanted one of those, we just want one. Give us one of those guys. Would Houston have done it? But the Tigers ended up getting they tried to get a haul of players. And they end up with three players that they haven't really, two guys didn't pan out. One guy's still on the team, but he's a platoon catcher, if you will. Can they do the same thing with Baltimore, except just get the one player?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking. I don't need to get four players for Jack Flaherty.
Just give me one good one.
But I want one solid player, a guy that's ready to step in and play third base or whatever.
Skubal, on the other hand, feels like it'd be minimum three Skubal's major different. League ready prospects
because of the control,
and one has to be elite, and the other you have to think the other two you have to be penning in to start, if not immediately in 2025, and that's just to get a conversation going. I mean, if they're good enough, I would do that, but I don't know. Not everybody loves your prospects the same way.
When people say that the asking price is too high, when you're hearing stuff like that and people saying, well, sources say, no way, not going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And it paints the picture like the Tigers are asking too much, right?
Yeah.
But are they?
No.
How about this way? Is Baltimore refusing too much? Because if you're Baltimore, you're in a position where you've got the chance to win. You've got all these tickets. Give some of those away the guy.
I think we all agree on this show that if we were doing the show in Baltimore, we'd all be trade for Skubal. we would all be imploring our organization to trade for Skubal.
But media-wise, it seems like people are painting the Tigers out to be like, oh, they're asking for too much. Yeah, and yet it feels like I'd put it on the other foot and say, no, Baltimore is refusing to budge. Like, if Baltimore doesn't want if this all hinges on Jackson Holliday, mm-hmm. the number one prospect in baseball, middle infield, shortstop, second baseman, blocked it short because Gunnar Henderson's there in Baltimore. If it all hinges on him and Baltimore doesn't want to give him up, that's on Baltimore. That's not the Tigers for demanding him the trade.
No, the Tigers should have
that. That makes sense for the Tigers to demand for him in the trade.
In the meantime, I have two paranoias. One is that the Flaherty injury is hurting the market. We have talked about it. He has had healthy starts, but that might be the biggest holdup in any deal, is that teams are concerned about the injury. The other is, again, as it pertains to Flaherty, my other paranoia, and this one isn't quite, I'm not as worried about this, but I think it's possible that Harris is asking too much for Jack Flaherty. It's a needle to thread. Ask for the world, but don't ask for the world plus, you know, your double A second baseman. You know, we want as much as we can possibly squeeze out of this, and we want our guy to ask for it. But if he overprices himself out of the market, and we get to 6:01 tonight, and Jack Flaherty's still a Tiger, I will be like, damn it, Harris, another trade deadline fail. Even though last year, it was the player that changed his mind. There was no backup plan. I mean, and it still didn't reflect great on Scott Harris. It wasn't like he didn't know about the trade, the no trade clause with Eduardo Rodriguez. He had approval to make that deal, but he had no other deal on the back burner in case this one fell through. And I think if he doesn't trade him, he's going to have to say we're committed to signing him long term.
I don't know about that. I mean, the first thing you said was your paranoia says this. Okay, yep. So I'm understanding that's the part in the back of your mind is always going to be there, like, uh-oh, what? And yet, I think in the fore, I'm not going to speak for your mind, I'll speak for mine.
Go for it.
In the forefront for me, this is just negotiation. This is what you do. And the market, there are too many teams that are in the market for that pitcher to make me think that a deal isn't going to get done. I'd be surprised if a deal didn't get done for Flaherty, given that he is really good. I get, okay, is the injury concern? Is that a legit concern? Sure, it's a concern, but he's proven through three starts after the second injection that he's been really good and that it, like, business as usual the way he was at the beginning of the season. So it should alleviate those concerns, and it's a run that another team knows that they're getting. It's a rental player, but there's a price to pay, and it's going to be steep rent. But when you've got big teams like the Dodgers and the Orioles and the Yankees and the Brewers and all these other teams, 7-8 teams that are involved that are looking for pitching, something's going to get done.
I mean,
if one of these other pitchers goes to one of those teams, it only reduces the market by one of those teams.
When I saw Montas get traded last night and Kikuchi get traded last night and nothing come from the Tigers, I'm like, uh-oh. But I'm like, no, it's fine.
There you go.
It's fine.
Back up. Still interest?
But uh-oh.
It's weird because I think they have Skubal and Flaherty, and we all agree, I think, like, Flaherty should be traded. Skubal, it's very debatable, right? Depends on the package and return. But I want the Tigers and Scott Harris specifically to operate from a position of power. Negotiations are difficult, man, and this is where Scott Harris has got to earn his money. If you operate from a position of power, I don't think you're calling teams, they're calling you. Now, Flaherty's definitely more movable, of course, and I'm hoping all these teams are calling the Tigers going, hey, what do you want for Flaherty? Well, this is what we want. The Skubal thing is, I'm not demanding, yeah, I say no to anything. You know, the Orioles don't control that conversation. You know, I'm just, hey, I've got Skubal, this is what I want. Come back to me when you're willing to give me what I want, or I hold on to Skubal. Flaherty's a different situation because we all think this guy needs to be moved, right?
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Ronnie in Waterford, you're next. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I think we're stressing out today. You know, I kind of was on board with, man, you can't trade Skubal. That's what we need, you know. But you know what? I just recently broke down his career. And you know what? He's been an elite pitcher for 15 games. Look at his career. He's, you know, he was a losing pitcher in 2020, 2021, 2022.
What do you think he's going to be next?
What do you think
What do you think Scooble's going to be? Is Scooble going to go back to being a losing pitcher? Or do you think that he's turned the corner?
No, he's evolved. I mean, he's at that stage where, you know, he's become the elite pitcher, but who knows? I mean, with a different team, I still put him in elite category. I just, you know, I'm on board with going ahead and trading him now, though. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, look,
a long way to get there.
I think we all say this about school. I think everybody says this about school. You don't trade him unless you get that offer.
I don't think everybody says it.
I don't think there are many people out there. Well, the only other dissension would be that you don't trade him.
Yeah, I think there are people that don't even take the calls. We've gotten that over the last few weeks.
But if you're going to trade him, the only reason you trade him is because they make a Godfather offer. I don't think anybody has called in and said, just trade him.
No. There's two groups of people, those that will take the calls and those that won't.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.